floods of joy, or my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, oh, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy pour my soul like the sea billows roll. I have light in my soul, for which long I have sought.
My sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Sing it to him now, church.
Since
Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy for my soul, like the sea.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he came into your heart? Aren't you glad he's still there tonight? Praise the Lord. A life without Jesus Christ is not much of a life. You're just existing. You're just getting by. But a life with Jesus Christ, there's a lot of disappointments in life. There's going to be for everybody. Aren't you glad you've got a resource? Aren't you glad you've got a place to go? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them this? We've got a good place to go to. We've got a good place to go to, guys. Since Jesus came into, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy for my soul like the sea.
Steadfast and sure.
Oh, yes, we
since
are.
Since Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt my path will obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart,
sing it. Well, he turns an old frown upside down. It makes you smile when you really don't even know why you're smiling. He makes you happy when you feel like you ought to just be so sad. But there's something about the joy of the Lord. There's something about serving this resurrected Lord Jesus. There's something about being part of an eternal kingdom. There's something about having a message in your heart that a lot of people don't even know nothing about. But you know about it. You believe it with all your heart, right? Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Chisholm just, he just blessed our heart, didn't he? Amen. That guy just, I don't believe I've ever seen anybody feel more at home than Brother Chisholm felt at home here over the weekend. And we like for it to be that way, don't we? You know, a minister, I can only imagine how a minister will get up and you feel like you're in a straight jacket and you feel like everybody else is in a straight jacket. I wouldn't want to be around a place like that. But where there's worshiping the Lord and praising and shouting and singing and rejoicing in the good things of the Lord, that's the place to be. That's the place to be. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're so glad you're here tonight. We've come to have church again. It's camp meeting Wednesday night, November the 8th. Cold, rainy outside, but it ain't going to be cold and rainy in here. We're going to feel the presence of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Is that why you came tonight? Did you come to have church? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you can be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Jeff Snoggers is visiting with us tonight. Brother Jeff, I want you to come. Be getting ready to take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer requests. We love those folks, don't we? Brother Jeff and his family, they're just good people. Give them a nice hand tonight. Amen. I want to remember Brother John Roberts in prayer tonight. He's sick with flu symptoms, so let's pray for him. I want to pray for Brother Ben Davis. He's not been feeling well since Saturday, so we want to pray for him tonight. Please remember Brother Frank Williams. He's feeling poorly tonight, so we want to remember him in prayer. Please pray for Teresa Carter. She is having severe back pain, so we want to remember her tonight. Please pray for Sister Victoria Thomas, who's having problems from kidney transplant of 20 years ago. Has infection. Also pray for her daughter April, that the doctors can find what's causing her to have seizures. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. I want you to pray for our grandson CJ Henley. Just the Lord knows all about the need in his life. Let's just pray for him tonight, that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Laura from Canada has a very urgent unspoken prayer request as well. She is suffering severe complications from a knee replacement. And just a lot of situations going on there, causing her to lose sleep, can't get any rest whatsoever. And she's got confidence in your prayers. And we want to pray for her tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Please continue to pray for Reba Carter. She's not breathing on her own all the time yet. She's still having to use a ventilator. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Sister Connie Pinkston says, please remember a friend from work, Lorna Smith. The doctors are suspecting that she could have bone cancer. She goes tomorrow for a test, asking God to move for her and that all will be well. So we want to commit that to the Lord. All the folks in our assembly that are sick from different things going on in their lives, we certainly want to remember those folks as well tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs, I know there's many needs among us, but aren't you glad we're serving a God that cares about your problems? He's a very understanding Savior, and he loves you tonight. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Could we stand tonight? Brother Jeff, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. On behalf of these prayer requests, we just commit these things unto the Lord. We know that he is more than able to meet our needs. Brother Jeff, God bless your heart. Give Brother Jeff a nice hand tonight as he comes.
Praise the Lord. Many happy to be a Christian tonight. Amen. God bless you, Brother Greg. Love you, brother. Think about you much. Pray for you often. Man, just certain people that the Lord puts in your lives, you know that there's always an imprint that's placed there. Happy Valley will always be one of those places for me, you know, and God bless you, brother. I didn't notice you behind your mask there. I love you too, Brother Keith. Amen. Love the Lord Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Such a privilege that He's given us to be Christians in this hour, you know, and this is not just any hour, but this is the hour when the fullness of the Word is being manifested, and I'm looking at it. Amen. That's how He's manifesting Himself today. It's right here in front of us. Praise the Lord. Let's just take these needs to the Lord tonight. And just remember, you may be the one that touches the throne for one of these needs tonight. So you pray just like this was. You were the only person that was able to get to God for these people. And I promise you, we'll get testimonies back from it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we stand here in Your presence tonight, Lord. It's always a privilege to be in the house of God. And we're so grateful that we can be gathered with those that are brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord. People that know how to pray. People that know how to get a hold of God. People that, Lord, when our brothers and sisters are hurting, they hurt. When our brothers and sisters are rejoicing, they rejoice. Father, all we want to do tonight, Lord, is just yield ourselves to You, that You'd be able to come by the power of Your resurrection, Lord. You'd be able to take every one of these requests. Brother Louis asked for unspoken requests. Lord, there's not a one of us that doesn't have one. But Lord, there's many of these requests that I hold in my hand that if You don't move for them, Lord, there may not be anything that can happen at all. But we know if You do move, Lord, that all things are possible to them that believe. We ask You tonight, Father, that You would bless the ministering of the Word. Receive our worship, Father, as You said that You would inhabit the praises of Your people. Lord Jesus, may You just come. May You just be so welcome in our midst tonight, Lord, that there would not be one person that'd be able to leave this place tonight and say, God didn't speak to me tonight. But Lord, may we be able to just receive from You. We love You, appreciate You, and we ask You tonight again, Lord, move upon each one of these requests according to Your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Keith. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome all of you. Glad to have you. All those that would be streaming tonight, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's give our streamers a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate them. This is their church service too. So we appreciate them. Let me make this announcement. If anyone is interested in doing the Operation Shoebox this year, the shoe boxes are available to pick up in the fellowship hall after service tonight. We'll be making that announcement more and more as time goes by. But if you're interested in doing that and want to pick those up tonight, they have those available for you over in the library. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in this old world, wouldn't you? Let's sing that little song tonight, if you will. I'd rather have Jesus
than to be the king of a vast domain. For me
again, all your heart.
This world's silver gold.
Oh, yes,
I'd rather
glory
be His.
Sing. From your heart, give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Brother Fred, Brother Fred, Brother Brandon, you come on. Let's sing this little chorus as they get ready to sing for us tonight. Sister Jessica Benton has a song. You can be seated tonight if you'd like to. She'll come onto the platform be ready to sing for us also tonight. But we kind of stuck on this little song. I just like it. I love hearing you sing the verses. Ain't nobody in the world singing no better than you. Oh, there's a song on the radio that says, "Our God is awesome," and those folks can sing it, but they can't touch that guy right there. I mean that. We'll just go ahead and give you a little rose while you can smell it tonight, okay? Our God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome.
Hey!
appreciate Brother Fred, Sister Jessica Bett, and both of them going to give us a song tonight. We appreciate our singers, don't we? Amen.
Well, when the Lord got done with me, I was ready to sing this song. I just want to say one thing about this song. It's always kind of hard to get up and sing a new song when, you know, there's no lyrics, there's no foundation to it. So this song is for the ministers that preach the spoken word. I have a hearing problem, so when I was little, I learned to read people's lips, and I was way off, and I don't know if I heard the man's voice, but it was in my mind, and I heard what he said, and he had preached a message somewhere, and they kind of made him, you know, like a hot dog preacher, you could say. You know, they were so interested and so well off, they ate steak. But I believe the prophet said, what you bring to this table tonight is what you're going to take out of here. And my God don't serve any bologna. He's always serving steak. I always eat steak here. I've been here for 2 years, and that's all I've eaten. So this song is for my precious brothers, especially Jackie Benton, a gallant soldier out there on the field, going into the jungles and different places. My heart goes out for him. Now, you have to forgive me. I ain't got much strength left. And this song takes a lot of strength, a lot of energy. Now, preacher, preach that spoken word. Now, preacher, preach that spoken word. For my soul is thirsting for that fountain, the fountain of that living word of God. Now, when Moses smote that desert rock, now Moses smote that desert rock, and the people drank living waters from the fountain, the fountain of that living word of God. Now preacher, preach that spoken word. Now preacher, preach that spoken word. For my soul is thirsting for that fountain, the fountain of that living word of God. Now the woman at the well was satisfied. Now the woman at the well was satisfied. For she drank living waters from that fountain, the fountain of that living word of God. Now preacher, preach that spoken word. Now preacher, preach that spoken word. For my soul is thirsting for that fountain, the fountain of the living word of God. Now Brother Denton preached to the jungle man. Now Brother Benton preached to the jungle man. Fountain, the fountain of that living word of God. So Brother Ben preach that spoken word. Now Brother Ben preach that spoken word. For my soul's going up in that round.
Brother Donnie preached my wedding night. Now Brother Donnie preached my wedding night. And my soul set fire with that fountain, the fountain of that living word of God.
Even though my spirit's low, and it seems I can hardly go, still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith, and can't see what lies before me, still I see victory. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. And you may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems like we're fighting a lot. I remember I'm standing on that rock. So, Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, 'cause I do believe you're going to lose. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, 'cause I'm covered by his blood. Cross the bloodline.
Man, both of them are just real good. God bless you. Let's stand tonight. Time to go on into the service. Time for Pastor to come tonight and bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you glad Brother Donnie is back home with us tonight? We certainly are. Let's sing this little chorus as he gets ready to come at this time. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's sing that tonight, if you will. What can wash away my sin?
I'm not just kind of glad. He said he was kind of glad to see me. I'm really glad to see you all. Can you imagine us being able to live together in eternity? All the gray hair will be gone. Glasses, contacts. You don't have to worry about forgetting your pain meds. There won't be none there. We'll all be young forever. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Friends, that's not a dream. That's a promise of God.
Amen.
Every day we live, we're getting closer and closer to that promise. Heard y'all had some wonderful services while I was gone. Certainly appreciate that. It always makes the pastor heart very, very glad and rejoicing whenever the sheep are fed. It's my responsibility to see the sheep are fed, whether I do it or not. Whenever I'm gone and I hear this preacher preach and that one, and generally I'll get them back over and over again if you all enjoy them. If I don't hear very good comments, I'm probably not going to get them back very often. Sorry, just the way it is. So preachers that don't get called back, don't get mad at me. Because if you're not a blessing in Happy Valley, we just don't go the other way here. So if you want to come back, feed them. Feed them good, take care of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're happy to be back tonight. I got a little plea this week from someone who needed some financial assistance. It was kind of a different type of request than what I normally get. We get all types of requests for financial assistance from people overseas. But this one was from a father. And it was kind of twofold because he wanted me to announce his daughter's engagement to a young man here in the church. And then he had an association with that there would be a great debt incurred, he felt like, on his part. So he wanted us to maybe consider lifting an offering for the poor. The poor old dad. Sister Ellie Garvin and Brother Robert McCarn got engaged. So Brother Charles, is your face 14 shades of red? No? No, he's... So we want to congratulate them. Let's give them a hand. Amen. My dear wife ran into them apparently before church, so she sent me a text while I was sitting back in the office studying and said, you ought to see her ring. It is so beautiful. I thought, typical woman. She said, they want you to announce it tonight. So I said, okay, all right. So I'd also like to announce that there's a wedding supper that's being planned. All of you, I hope, are invited. Now, I can't actually invite you. The list was already made before the foundation of the world. But I do believe I'm preaching to people who were pre-invited. Don't you want to go? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, if you would, tonight. We'd like to look again at this little thought on the church, if the Lord will help us. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Also I say unto thee, thou art little rock, Petra, and upon this big rock I will build my church, which is not on Peter as we know. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many believes that? Then if you are part of that church, there is nothing that hell can do to destroy you. Amen. Let's pray together. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord tonight? Just raise your hand. No doubt many needs visible and those that are streaming as well. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence tonight, Lord, we are such a blessed people. God, I thank you for grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for our church. I thank you for a place that we can come to, Lord, and to be able to hear the word. Lord, I get texts and emails and phone calls from people all over this world that, Lord, the church situation and their home, it's awful. Lord, many of them have to try to sort through this church and that church. This one's off the word, but they worship. This one's more on the word, but they're dead. This one's got a double married preacher. This one's got this. I think, Lord Jesus, how grateful we ought to be. Amen. To be able to come to the house of God and hear the word preached. And to watch you discern our very hearts, our very thoughts. You, the word. Lord, that places you right among us. I pray we would never take it for granted, Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, this prayer call that I have, Lord, this Sister Barry, you see her need, Lord Jesus. They stream the service, no doubt are tonight. I pray the presence of God would just go with this cloth. We know, Lord, that this is scriptural. We know that, Father, we are not Elisha nor Paul, but you are still Jesus. So as I preach tonight, the anointing comes to anoint me. I pray, Heavenly Father, it would go with this cloth as well. These hands that were uplifted signified a need, a request. We pray tonight that you'd meet them. May you speak to us through the channel of your word tonight. It's in the name of the word we ask it, the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's read this verse 18 again. And all I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia. Let's look at the meaning of the word, assembly, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship. We've not gathered here tonight to see one another's clothes. We've not gathered here tonight just to hear pretty singing, nice music. We've gathered for worship, and this is also a house of correction. The literal meaning of church is a called out assembly. The word is used 114 times in the New Testament. 90 of these times refer to a local assembly. The other times, of course, are referring to the ecclesia part, which is the mystical body. We know that we can become the member of a church very easy. You go to an assembly somewhere, you're baptized in water by the pastor, by one of the deacons. You say, I want to put my name on the book. They write your name down there, give you the do's, the don'ts, the wherefores, the whys. You become a member of that church. Now, that's much easier to do than it is to become a member of the body of Christ. Because remember, now when Jesus says this word, there was no church as of yet. Now, there was a type or a symbol of the church in the Old Testament. And we know that Israel represented that. But there was no New Testament church as of yet. So when they heard Jesus say this, they would have thought something totally different than what you and I think. As we came to church tonight, no doubt you passed several buildings. The sign out front said, so-and-so church, so-and-so church, so-and-so church, so-and-so church. So when you and I hear the word church, we may not take it in a too complimentary way. If someone tells us or calls us church, we almost become offended by it because we prefer to be called bride. But now remember, in looking at it in the New Testament terms, when you look at the ecclesia, it's exactly the same thing. But the bride is an advancement of what the church is. So what is it all about? Position and relativity to the Godhead in the Son of Man. It's the way that we relate to our position in Christ Jesus. Now remember that Jesus did not ask them, who do people say I, the Son of David, am? Or who do they say I, the Son of God, am? But who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? Now, in this day, most of our churches talk about Him being the Son of God. No doubt many would talk about Him being the Son of David. What sets us apart? We identify Him not only in those two positions, but we cherish His position as Son of Man. Why? Because this is a position that He chose to reveal Himself again in the last day to the Gentiles. And may I say, your prophet said that He's chosen to identify Himself in the body of His bride in the form of the Son of Man. He said, in my flesh and in yours. Praise the Lord. So who do you say that the Son of Man is? Oh, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. See, you're off right there. That's as far as your understanding has let you go about who the Son of Man is. This is why many of the message folks need a reappearing again of Brother Branham in order to usher in the resurrection. So they believe, many of them believe that Brother Branham will have a private resurrection first. That he will raise from the dead first. Then he will call the resurrection. I have a problem with that. You know, Paul did not say that it would be Brother Branham. Brother Branham did not say it would be Brother Branham. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. Who? the Lord himself. Not a prophet, not a pastor, not a church age messenger, but the Lord himself. Amen. Now, because our relation to him is identified by a dispensational office and a dispensational claim, we must find our own claim upon him in order to tap into the power that lies in the revelation of the word by the revealing of his personage. Now, God chose to reveal himself in the church ages, of course, in a sevenfold personage of his being. That personage is selected of his own choice by which he has chosen to reveal himself. He could not have made himself known in the days of Luther in the same light that he's revealed now. Now you know that we just had the 500th year of the Reformation whenever Luther had tacked his 95 theses up on the door of Wittenberg, Germany, and many of the Protestants have now rejoiced with him. I passed a church sign today that they were celebrating. It was a Protestant church, and they were celebrating when Luther had done this. But Brother Tim Mullen had sent me an article, Brother Aaron McGay, some different brothers, and they was going through and looking, and the Catholic Church and the Protestants had said, well, we've been able to come together and reach some sort of agreement. And we've been able to move beyond these differences that we've had for 500 years. Now, they still disagree, of course, on the Holy Eucharist. They disagree on many, many things. But they found one principle that most of them can agree on. And you know what it is? The Trinity. That's what they said. They said that they all can agree on the Trinity. Once again, you're the odd duck. Amen. Once again, you are left out of their agreement. Now, they cannot agree on communion. They cannot agree on Mary. They cannot agree on intercession. They cannot agree on many, many things. But they've been able, after all of these years, whenever Luther protested. And remember, Luther was as much a Trinitarian when he came out as a Catholic Church as he was when he was in it. He was a Trinitarian, so was Wesley, so was many of these men, but the evening light of the Godhead of Christ was reserved to the last day. Amen. Remember the Song of Solomon, it was not three standing at the door knocking, it was one. Amen. That's exactly right. John said he saw one on the throne, and let me tell you something, if there's another sitting on the throne, he's sitting on the floor because John only saw one throne. Amen. There's only one on the throne, and God said in the Old Testament, there is none other beside me. If there is any, he said, I don't know who they are. I am the first. I am the last. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. Hallelujah. That's part of the revelation of his being in the last day. You will never see your own place until first he, you can see him properly in his. Part of the restoration of the end time message is to bring Christ to his position in order to bring you to yours. Seeing Christ in his, Brother Branham in his, and you in yours. Show me somebody that does not see Christ in his place, 9 times out of 10, they didn't see Brother Branham right. And more than likely, they don't see themselves right. But if you can see Christ right first, then see Brother Branham right, then you're on the right road to success and to seeing yourself right. Why? Because that is God's order. We live in the day when the evening light has shined. Don't you thank God for it? Now look, Jesus is addressing the ecclesia, the called out, and he asks them, who do men say? Well, they say you're this, that, or the other. All right, now let me bring it on down. Who do you say that I am? Now, Peter responds because of the revelation that God had dropped in his heart. Remember, the appearing of the Son of Man is always an identification of man, of God, blending together. A Son of Man, what dost thou seest? I see a scroll. Daniel, Son of Man. Jeremiah, Son of Man. So what was it? Deity on the earth in a form by which the people would be able to relate. Jesus came on the earth and he identified himself over and over again as what? Son of Man. And he must reappear again in the last day as what? Son of Man. He revealed himself in the form of Son of God, which is baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the fullness of the attribute of God was to return in the last days. You see, Luther could still remain a Trinitarian, smoke a pipe, and drink a little bit of beer on the side.
typical German in the 15th, 16th century. A Wesley could be able to do this, that. The other Pentecostals could shout the shoe heels off, baptize and Titus and believe in three gods. But you won't be able to do it because the light's shining brighter. And it's shining brighter about what? The Holy Roman Catholic Church? Nope. Is it shining brighter about Reformation? Nope. It's shining brighter about the person of the Lord Jesus. Then we should not be amazed that the devil, the very devil, that the Spirit of God struck against by the prophet of God will try to come right back around inside this message and rob the deity away from Jesus Christ by message preachers that ain't even born again themselves. Oh, friends, I've said it for years and years, and I'm going to keep on saying it. One of the reasons we got so many errors and so many false things in this church, the church around the message, is because we got preachers standing behind the pulpit that ain't born again. Well, you're going to preach with me? We got preachers standing in the pulpit that are not born again. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They ain't nothing but just converted Lutherans or Methodists or Church of Christ. But if we can get some of these Methodist preachers really born again, you talking about breaking out in revival. You talking about having the Word of God come and stir our soul. But it's got to begin with the preacher himself. Oh my, how in the world did I get off on that? Now, what's this in the Laodicean Church Age book? Now by His Spirit He is creating many sons unto Himself. God the Creator creating Himself a part of His creation. This is the true revelation of God. This was His purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why He could look right down to the last stage when all would be over and see Himself still in the midst of the church. As author of this new creation of God, His sovereign power brought it to pass. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I made up my mind. Baloney, you never done no such a thing. I don't care who it is, from a prophet to a pastor down to a washwoman. There ain't none of us got enough strength to be able to make up our mind over the powers of this day. Friends, we are living in a day when darkness is around us everywhere. You heard it this week. A man stepping into a church and killing 26 people. That same thing is around everywhere. Why? Because the darkness is breaking through. And you and I do not have power within ourselves to withstand hell that's breaking out. Don't you understand? The tribulation is so close to coming to pass. The corridors of hell are emptying out in the realms of mortality and darkness and death and putrefaction is spewing out from the very gates of hell. Oh, but let me tell hell tonight, there is a church on the earth that is not established by man. She is not established by the ideology of some seminary somewhere, but she is the church of the living God, built by Jesus Christ Himself. Let me tell you right now, if I built this church will fall. If Brother Tim Pruitt built his church, there's no hope for it. But if Jesus built this church and allowed me and you to be part of it, there ain't enough gates in hell. I said there ain't enough gates in hell to stop it. By His own decree, He elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of their will. Whose will? Now remember, He's quoting scripture. His will. By His omniscience and omnipotence, He brought it to pass. How else could He know that He would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from His brethren? If He did not make sure. Well, I hope somebody feels sorry for me. I'm going to go to the earth and I'm going to die and I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to bleed and I'm going to suffer and I'm going to have the preachers to preach it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and maybe they can plead and make people feel sorry for me. Nonsense! He come to the earth to seek and save that which was lost. He ain't got one extra theophany. He's not going to have to create a theophany because somebody will show up that he didn't know would be there. You ain't going to wind up there and say, Lord, where's my theophany? Oh, man, I didn't know you was coming. Oh, man, I'm sorry about that. There you go. That's your theophany. I didn't realize you was coming. He had it before he had you. You was already there. That was there before you became material on the earth. Glory. Watch this. Amen. All things he knew, all things he worked out according to what he knew, in order that his purpose and good pleasure would be brought to pass. Ephesians 2:11, in whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad that you belong to him? Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad you belong to him? Now, watch this. Back to what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Also I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. Gates in the Bible represent authority and power. Mm-hmm. The city gate to a Jew was what the courthouse would be to us today. Now I want you to renew Monte Carol's tag on her car yesterday. So where'd I go? Courthouse. Want to pay taxes on her house. Where'd I go? Courthouse. If I want to make some sort of legal transaction. But they didn't have a courthouse. So they met in the gates. So the gates are a place of business. A place of transaction where deeds are traded out. I want to buy this property. I want to marry this woman. Notice what Jesus said now. Not the windows of hell. Not the doors of hell. Not the walls of hell, but the gates. He knew what he was saying. Important business was transacted at the gate. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 19. Then shall the father and his mother, now this is dealing with a rebellious son, lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city, unto the place of his, the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Boy, it's a good thing we don't do this today. Oh, well, we bury them all. It's a good thing we don't do it in the church, because I'm not sure where we bury all the dead church folks either. Now notice, so if you had a stubborn son and he would not obey you, then you would bring that son before where? Not a judge, not a tribunal. They had the Sanhedrin, which was the judging court. But they would bring him to, where was the Sanhedrin? At the gate. So the gate is the place of authority. The gate is the place of judgment. The gate is the place where transactions are verified. And Jesus said, just so hell will know, my church will be built so strong that the gates of hell and all of her business and all of hell's transaction and all of hell's property and all of hell's business deals will not be able to defeat my church. Deuteronomy 22:13. If any man take a wife and go into her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bringing up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman and I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father, the damsel, and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. So you're accusing her, be impure. You're accusing her with laying with someone else. Where's her innocence proven? At the gate. You see, Jesus hadn't even gone down and took them gates yet. But he knew he's fixing to. Glory to God, Brother Dowdy hasn't even died and raised from the dead. But he said, let me just prophesy. I'm fixing to take these gates. I won't be like Samson, where I'll just take them up on my back and take them up on the hill on the rock of Etam. But I will destroy their power against my church. Oh, blessed be the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 8. Then the king rose and sat in the gate. And they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. So the gate was a sign of significant power and authority. So the king went where? Not to the courthouse, not to the recorder of deeds and records, but he went to the gate. So did our king go to the gates. Ruth chapter 4 verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate. Praise be to God. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Amen. Now this is after he's bought Ruth. Glory. The Lord make the woman that is common to thine house like, amen, Rachel, and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be a famous in Bethlehem. Where was it consummated? Where was it settled? In the gate. Now Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell. Now this word here, hell, is actually Hades, not Gehenna. Now there's three words in the New Testament used: Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna. But here Jesus says, Hades, not Sheol, not Gehenna, which is fire, but simply the realm of the dead. The gates of Hades, not of torment, but it will be Hades that will come against my church. Why? The gates of torment's wasting their time to try to get them. You didn't get that. Don't you understand? If you're sealed in the presence of God by the Holy Ghost, there ain't no need for the gates of fire to try to get you. So what will try to get you? These gates of Hades. Both natural and spiritual death. The unseen counterpart of the visible grave. Now what is Sheol? Sheol is the grave. Hades is the unseen counterpart, the invisible, which answers back to the visible. So when we take a person's body and we bury that body in the ground, we place them in Sheol. But Jesus didn't say, the gates of Sheol will come against my people, but the gates of Hades, the realm of the dead. Don't you understand when Satan tries to get us to commit adultery against the word of God, it's the gates of hell? Don't you understand when preachers or laity or whoever it is tries to corrupt the word of God and hybridize the word of God and get us to mix something else up with the word that'll cause a hybridized death? Don't you understand what it is? It's the gates of Hades. Hell is vomiting out. Remember when the prophet said there? He said, there I was in JCPenney's store, back in hell again. Do you understand? The invisible realm of Hades is all around us, friends. Trying to kill you. Trying to kill me. Mama, notice this. So it is the all-destructive, all-devouring part that every mortal goes to. Satan feels confident no one can defy death, because every mortal must die. So Jesus said, no, not really. Now remember, Hades leads to the prison of the souls, of course, that was imprisoned once they leave this realm of mortality. So it also, let's look at it in this form, that it symbolizes the orchestrated, organized satanic power by which the business of the outlets of Satan is able to be administered through the gates. So if you're standing at the gate of Jerusalem, and as Boaz was, he wanted to be able to take Ruth to be his wife. He wanted to purchase Naomi's property. So he sits there and he waits, and he waits, and he waits. And when he sees the near kinsman, the devil, walk through, because that was the one you next kin to. My, no wonder some of us are so mean. Look at our family tree. It was kin to the devil. I could explain why some of y'all still so mean. Sorry. But you see, whenever he stood there, he said, ho! Of course, we'd say, hey, but they said, ho! So he said, ho! Ho, you! I hear that you're the next of kinsmen, and you know about Naomi. Yes, I've heard about it. And she has this daughter-in-law. Yes, I've heard about that. He said, well, you're the closest of kin. If you want to take and redeem it for yourself. And he said, who is she? She's a Gentile. Yes, sir. Oh, no, it'd mar my inheritance. Don't they speak in tongues? Don't they believe in shouting and jumping around and carrying on? And they, them ones that go to church, and my goodness, it's about like a football game or a baseball game. They rally and jump and shout and holler. Praise the Lord. Ain't they the ones that get all, you know, all religious and all that sort of thing? They cry when they read the word. They get all happy. They don't go to just sit there and go to sleep in church and say, oh my, such a people that definitely mar my inheritance. Well, he said, if you don't want her, I'll take her. And she's a Gentile. She's a dog. She worshiped Chemosh. She done all this and that and the other. I agree. The outside is totally guilty. But you don't see what I see when I'm looking inside that soul. Well, you don't see what I see. It's filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you don't see what I see. It's a name on my book. That's why I am the Son of Man. And that's why I look. Oh, Satan, you see their body. It's weak and weary and low. You look upon their flesh and you ought to know. But you don't see what I see when I look at my bride. I see the bride and morning star reflecting in her life. Oh, hallelujah. Wow, where'd that come from? So Jesus says, just to let you know, guys, before I even build my church, let you in a little insight. Amen. I'm fixing to storm the gates. It won't be me and Gabriel. It won't be me and Wormwood. It won't be me and Donnie, me and Darrell, me and Terry. For he alone tread the winepress of the wrath of God. I'm fixing to storm in Hades. I'm fixing to go into Sheol. I'm fixing to go into Gehenna. I'm fixing to go into all of Satan's trinity. I'm going to defeat him in all three realms. And I'm going to conquer the gates. And I'm going to snatch the keys off his side. And when I walk out, I'm going to kick the door so hard everything on the wall is going to shut down. And I'm fixing to go up and open up the sixth dimension or where Abraham the fifth is. And I'm going to let him come out. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and Jeremiah and Zephaniah and Zechariah. I'm fixing to lead my people out of the gates of hell. So here comes the stormtrooper.
And he delivered the captives out of where? The gates.
Let me tell you something, friend. He's so powerful, he didn't need an army. If you honestly think he needs you to overcome, you need to scratch your head and realize who you are. He don't need you in the millennium to come in and conquer. He could do this whole thing by himself. He's letting you go along for the ride. Woo! He don't need me to conquer. He don't need you to conquer. He's letting us go along with him and bear his glory. You imagine Satan in his mind thinking, fine, start a church. Start one. But every one of them leaders will die. I'll wind up getting them all. So you made Peter special, John special, Andrew special. Fine. They'll live their life. They'll get old. And they'll die. Inevitably, Sheol will get them all. And then what will happen to your church? But you see, he put a clause in this. Every age is firstborn generation. Hope this don't bother you tonight. I believe that I've got the same Holy Ghost Peter had. I baptized the way he did. I preached what he did. Hope this don't offend you. I actually preach you with more understanding of what he had 2,000 years ago. And so do you, brothers, here, because of God's grace, I say that. But listen, I could have stood up. I could have been there in the upper room, Brother Darrell. It could have been me and you saints here tonight. I could have stood up that day and said, men and brethren, you've got to repent and be baptized. Why? I am part of that same body. I've got the same Holy Ghost. I'm the same identified Christian as they were. I'm not third generation, fourth generation, 500th generation. I am the firstborn. I belong to the church of the firstborn. Death did not destroy it.
Look at Oral Roberts and his ministry and what he done. No doubt the man helped a lot of people. Look at his son. What'll happen now when his son gets old and dies? Who'll take it from there? Look at Billy Graham. Look at his son.
Look at Brother Branham.
Look at his sons.
Can they do what he did?
They're not called to. Praise the Lord. Now, we don't say that to run them down, none of them that I just mentioned, but it does not come by blood. It comes by the blood of God. Not Branham blood, Graham blood, Roberts blood, Reagan blood. It comes by the blood of God. You've got to be born again. Well, praise the Lord. You imagine Satan saying, all human travelers pass through these gates. Eventually, I get them all.
And at this time, remember, paradise had not been cleared up yet.
So you imagine him saying, and where is Abraham? Would you mind telling me where Jacob is tonight? Mighty preacher. And where is Joseph? What about Haggai? What about Malachi? What about all the seed of Abraham? Where are they? In my gates, held captive.
that Jesus could just kind of smile a little bit, like Brother Darrell just smiled at me right there. He could smile at the devil, not say a word, just kind of smile. Because he knew what the future held. So he could go ahead and say it. Oh yes, y'all will live and you will die as mortals and your family will carry over the grave and then another generation will pass and another generation will pass. But this is not the same thing as a natural kingdom. This is a mystical kingdom called the church. And I will have people in every day. God has had somebody in every age that would stand for the truth. This age will go, oh friends. He will not let this age pass with not only having one or two, he's going to have thousands times thousands. The disciples standing right there were dying men in dying mortal bodies. So Satan could say, no problem, I'll wait my time. Look at us. Look at what I looked like 30 years ago when I come here. Look what you have done to me. Of course, we could turn around the other way. Look what I've done to you. So Satan could make his brag. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. Eventually, I get them all. Sinner or saint, prophet or sage, they all go through my gates. And I have the keys. Now Jesus can't say too much right here in Matthew 16 because he ain't died yet. And he don't want to let the whole seven seal, the whole program of God, you know, be outright plain where the devil can read it like a newspaper, but he can go ahead and prophesy and say, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Let me just say it. Satan has emptied his quiver. Satan has shot all of his shells. He's emptied every cannon he's got. And the church is still marching. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He tried to burn him. He tried to scare him to death. He tried to drown him. He tried to shut him up. He threw him in jail. He done everything he knew to do. And in spite of everything he does, they get stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Jesus said so. The church's security, it's not just going to be based upon the longevity of these men, the perpetuity of Peter's preaching, the perpetuity of James, the longevity of Paul. Inevitably, they will die, but the church won't. If the Lord tarries, add a few years onto my age, eventually I'll pass. And you'll have to get somebody else to be your pastor. Right? But will the real church die when I die? If you do, you are nothing but a souse down the wolf Reaganite. Well, Brother Donnie, here I can't make it. Oh, shame. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't want to be no Reaganite. You want to be a Christian. And Brother Darrell goes, look, when Brother Branham went off the scene, people thought, oh no, it'll be the end of the message. Guess again. This message has been taken to corners of the earth that Brother Branham was never even allowed to go. Why? The longevity of the message is not based just upon the human messenger. It's not based upon just the human preachers. Jesus built this church. So the gates are the place of strength. Place judiciary judgment, the place of arms, final word. So you take the gates, you control the city. Now, you actually don't have to break foot through 8-foot walls and, you know, knock down every wall. You get the gates. You've got the whole thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you can pass through them gates, oh, glory to God. Can you imagine, oh, friend, I imagine Satan must have got so mad at himself and so mad at his demons once he realized what had happened on Calvary. Oh, I'd love to have been down in hell just a few minutes after Jesus had died. Goes to the door and opens the door. Ah, there you are. I thought I got you when I got Abel. Isn't that amazing? He thought he got him when he got Abel. I thought I got you when I got Moses. I thought I got you. He was looking for God to become a man. That's the third Adam, or the third man rather, of Genesis 3. That man that God prophesied will bruise that serpent's head. It was the one that he kept looking for. He said, yes, but now I'm here. My blood is still hot on Calvary. Give me the keys. Give me the keys. Praise God. The blood of a bull and a goat was not strong enough to open up and clear the dimensions where Abraham would be able to release to go in under the altar of God. So when he died and he slept with his fathers and they buried his body, his soul went down into paradise. Jacob died, they buried his body, his soul was gathered with his father. Where? Paradise. Not in heavenly bliss. Not in bluegrass, not in the sixth dimension, in paradise. Aren't you glad you're married to the paradise emptier? If he can empty paradise, he can empty you of all the hell that bothers you. If he can empty out paradise, he can empty you of all your fears and your complexes. Oh, blessed be the Lord. They long for him. David said, he'll not leave my soul in hell. He'll not allow his Holy One to see corruption or leave my soul in hell. No doubt the man didn't even know what he was saying. His soul in Sheol. But it was prophetic that God would say, I will come down myself. I'll divide myself on the cross. I'll let my humanity die in the form of sonship. But by theophanic appearance, I will appear and take the gates. Oh, glory to God, I will appear in hell and I will take the power of the gates. Hallelujah. Jesus secures his church against all men, all movements, all systems who gets their authority from the gates of hell. Listen to me. Every movement that gets its authority from the gates of hell against God's church, Jesus said, I will give you power over them. People that set out to destroy you and claim to be Christians, elect cannot persecute elect. People got in their heart to destroy you, to destroy me, to destroy the saints of God, whether it's by gun or by their tongue or by two Facebook. They got their commission from the gates of hell. Jesus never commissions a person to do such. Oh, my. So they get their authority. You going to preach with me? You know where all the organizations come from? The gates of hell. Where did Hitler get his power? The gates of hell. Stalin, gates of hell. Beast power in the last day, gates of hell. But you got power over the gates of hell. Praise be to God. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. The church, the real church now, the ecclesia, is as secure in heaven as God is. The Lord Jesus continues to assure us of the consistency of Satan's assaults. But he also lets us know, just as he's consistent, I am more so. The gates of hell will come against you in all types of administrative ways. It will attack you physically, it will attack you psychologically, it will attack you emotionally. Who's in charge of the government of the world? The devil! All the Republicans fight the Democrats, and the Democrats fight the Republicans, and the independents fight them both, and this side and that side. Oh my, I'm Trump, I'm anti-Trump, I'm blow Trump. I'm waiting for the Trump myself. And it ain't Donald I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the Trump of God, not the one in the White House. But they fuss and they fight. Oh my, he colluded with Russia. And then they find out their side colluded with Russia. Oh, but... Let's change the subject. Let's talk about the price of rice in China. Who runs it all? The devil. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. The head of your party is the devil himself. Well, praise the Lord. There might be a few good people in there, which would be a miracle. The Lord Jesus does not say, now I'm fixing to go down in the gates of hell and I'm going to annihilate them. But he simply says, they'll not destroy you. They will not prevail against you. They will meet in the gates of Hades, or in Nellis Updater scheme. Now, back in the 50s, we had I Love Lucy. And we had the Beatles and the Monkees and all that stuff. But now we've got to update. In the 80s, we had AC/DC and, you know, whoever, all that other trash was out there. But now we've got to update. And now we've got to merge in contemporary Christian rock. Same beat, same rhythm, same trash. Oh, they talk about Jesus every now and then. And bang their head. Where'd it come from? The gates of hell. So people still listen to rock and roll, except it's on 88.3. And it soothes the conscience because God comes out every now and then, Jesus and mercy and the cross. Well, preach, Brother Don. Don't you see everything that would come against this church, everything that would come against you as an individual or you as a family, it comes from the gates of hell. There they gather and they meet and they talk. Let's cause problems in the church. Let's cause problems between the man and the wife. Let them look at it and can't even figure out why this is going on. Let it be so powerful between the mother and father and the son, and they try to pray about it and they try to talk about it, and they can't for the life of them even understand what's going on. You understand what you're dealing with? A demon from the gates. Now, it may be that every individual here tonight is not called to deal with gatekeepers. But it just so happens some of us are. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Darren and I was over in the meeting of Brother Tim Humes, and the other brother was there, and Brother Tim called me the other day all excited and all elated, and he said, Brother Donnie, I had to share a testimony with you. He said, I've been trying to reach Brother Darren, but I can't get him. He said, I want you to tell him. I said, I will. He said, there's a sister, a Congolese sister, come up for prayer Saturday morning. Brother Darrell preached, did a tremendous job. She come up for prayer. She had cancer. Fixing to start her chemo. Had battled sugar for years of her life. Brother Darrell and Brother Tim offered prayer, and the rest of the saints offered prayer. The Spirit of God come in and totally healed that woman of cancer and sugar at the same time. I mean, he give her a double barrel of healing. She went back to the doctor to start her chemo, and they started doing different tests, and the doctor said, I don't know what's happened, but you ain't got no cancer. Amen.
a minister's wife that was standing there in that service, wasn't even sure she's going to make the meeting from Canada. She had this rotator cuff situation. She's wearing a brace and all that to church. While prayer was being made up in front for that woman, the Spirit of God touched this Canadian sister on back in the auditorium and touched her. And she began to praise God, and God healed her of her rotator cuff. What was it? A mission from the gates of hell had sent out a dispatch to attack this woman with cancer, and attack this woman with sugar, and attack this woman with her shoulder. And another gate opened up and said, all right, you have made a challenge. We accept your challenge. The gates of hell opened, and the gates of heaven responded.
Glory to God. You've heard Brother Bram tell the story when that demonic man came up under that influence of that demon power. 1956 in Charlotte, he talks about it. He said, the chief of that tribe of demons made a challenge. He challenged the Spirit of God that night in Portland, Oregon. He said, the chief of that tribe of demons. I guess they wish they was in Santa Fe the time they got done. They wish they'd went west and headed toward Tucson. The chief of that tribe of demons made a challenge, and the Holy Ghost accepted the challenge. The prophet of God said when he's raised up there, everything in the building was healed. People throwing out their crutches and people emptying out of wheelchairs. Everything in the building was healed except for the man laying across his feet. They asked the man, is the man healed? He said, no, he worships that spirit. You know why some of you ain't got delivered of your old sickness or your disease or your past? You're worshiping that thing. You want pity. You want people to feel sorry for you. And you worship that. It's time that we cast them devils out of our lives. Our past, our memory of this, our memory of that. And get rid of that devil instead of worshiping that sickness. Worshiping that sugar. Worshiping that cancer. Worshiping that TB. Oh, which way did the devil go? Anybody see him when he left? If he ain't out of here, but now he's dumber than I thought. Glory to God. Brother Don, how can we ever do it? I'll tell you how. Divine strength. Greater is he that is in you. And my brother, sister, if you can't overcome the things you're going through, at least have the sense angels have got. When the angel of God come down and pressed to be able to bring an answer to Daniel, and he could not get through, and he fought and he fought and he fought with that prince, that demon, that fallen angel which ranks higher in authority, and he still maintained his principality. He ranked higher than this angel that was sent from the presence of God. He had enough sense to call out for help. Michael, come down. Glory be to God. Michael, come down. Don't deal with your trouble if it's beyond your capacity. If it's beyond your ability. God has men of God in this place to help you. Don't be stubborn. Don't be foolish. Don't be, oh, I'll do it myself. You'll get killed. If you ain't got faith and you've got cancer and you don't have the faith to do it, ask for help. God still got some Michaels, as it were. Well, time to close, I guess. Let's stand.
be to God. Friends, let me help you understand a little bit what a hunting trip is about for me. Hunting is not just me going hunting a deer. I'm hunting something else. I love to get alone with the Lord. I take my iPad, sometimes take my laptop and my iPad. Ask that man, he's been with me. I study and study and study some of my greatest times. As a matter of fact, you're feeding still yet on stuff I got on last year's hunting trip. Praise God. I passed a deer that many, many hunters would love to take, and I've let them walk. I let it go last Sunday before last. Because I'm not just there to kill deer. I'm not a killer. I'm there to listen. I'm there to seek Him. Praise God. We saw sinners in this place that we were staying. Sinners. Brother Darrell, tell me about an experience of a man. Lord, it's awful the way the man carried on. Awful. Before Brother Darrell and Brother Daniel left the last night, he come down talking to him about God. And a man that you'd never think. One of the guys that even stayed with us in the room where we was at. Started talking about the Lord. Brother Darrell let him watch the video of Jessica, and he started saying, "You men of God, you men of faith, praise be to God." We wasn't standing up every night with our Bible, "Hallelujah, I'll tell you one thing, you men's going to hell. You better listen to us." We want Jesus to shine so bright. That's what we want every day. Not just preachers, all of us. Praise God. Hell will come against us, but heaven's gates are on our side. So let's follow through. I'm going to close. And Seth's done it. Seth's all sand. When paradise gates opened up and Abraham come out, and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, then they come up changing dimensions, going up. Then the voices started screaming out, "Lift up, ye everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up." And some voices from the inside, they said, "The King of Glory is coming." And they said, "Who is the King of Glory?" What did they do? They knew who He was, so they could answer for Him. Lord God have mercy. Don't you see those gates are fixing to open again? If they ask, I want to be able to answer. Who is He? I don't want to say, "Well, He's the second person of the third person's Father's right hand. He ain't got no angels in the end." I want to be able to answer, "He's the King. He's the I Am. He's the first and the last." That'll be the password. I know they're going to let me in. Hallelujah. Amen. They come out of the gates of paradise and the gates of heaven. Can you imagine one of these mornings, the gates of Hades are moving closer and closer and closer. Hell is vomited. She's vomited her filth on the earth. And the gates are moving closer to you, you and me and our church. And we'll walk right out of these gates one morning. And those great old big pearly ones will swing wide open. Praise be. Glory be to God. Why? Because Jesus said so. Don't you love Him? Praise God. He looked down through these ages. He saw the darkness. He saw the death on the crosses, the crucifixions. He saw what Nero would do. He saw that Nero would have some of our brothers and sisters wrapped up in muslin type cloths. And he would have pitch poured on their bodies. And he wanted to walk in his garden, his palace garden at night. So he would have them Christians lined up. Say, this was the garden path right here. He would have two Christians. Brother Louis, when he wanted to take a walk, a stroll in the night in the garden paths, they would wrap up them Christians in this material, pour pitch on the material, and they'd set them on fire as human torches. To me,
It is a reflection of what the gates of hell saw in these believers. They couldn't get their souls in fire. The closest they could get was their bodies. That had already been lit by the pillar of fire, and Satan is mimicking or making fun of them and ending their life. Oh, we say God's our healer, God's there. Oh, friend, we don't know how we'll leave this world. Some of us may leave racked with pain, with cancer or some car wreck, this or that or the other. Don't you understand why? Whenever he's allowed to do that, he's allowed to do that to you. It's to mock and mimic your testimony, which proves he could never get you. He hated you to the very end. Praise God. That's the kind of believer I want to be. Don't you? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be a part of this church tonight. When I say that, I don't mean just so much Happy Valley. But Lord, a part of this mystical church. This church that you built. Difference of these people here, Lord, have told me of the beginning of this church, Happy Valley. It started at Roan Hill or something like that, I think they've told me. And some of their fathers and grandfathers that started years ago as a Pentecostal church, and then they tore down a building and brought some of that material here and built it here. Then it was introduced into the message. Lord, many of them worked on it, no doubt. Put labor into it as far as building it. But Father, we know you're the only one that can really build that true church. Oh, hallelujah. You said upon this rock, I will build my church. And the administration, the authority, the dispensation sent from the gates will not prevail against it. Praise God. Satan emptied all of his cannons. He emptied everything against that early church. He could never destroy it. Second church, age third, fourth, my, thought he had it when it down into total darkness for hundreds of years under Catholicism. But you got a hold of a little German priest, a restlessness that had been on his soul for many, many years. He would beat himself. He would pray, agonizing, trying to find peace with God. But one day while reading the book of Romans, you quickened it to his heart. The just shall live by faith. It probably caused a little rattle on the outer hinge, on maybe the right-hand side of the gate of hell. Satan probably sent one of his demons over there with a little spiritual WD-40 to kind of oil that gate and say, a little rattle maybe over there. Ain't nothing happened on the earth for hundreds of years now. Little did the devil know you would just set a man on fire. Praise God, and the gates of hell would be shook. You've done it over and over again. But Lord, in this day, when a little baby was born, glory to God, and an angel signified his birth, supernatural started following him. I imagine the gates was at real alert. When he started telling people their names, their addresses, even that their doctor wore tortoiseshell glasses. I imagine the gate started shaking and rattling is worse than Elvis Presley. Oh my. I can just think in my mind in 1965 when that prophet passed away, hell thought, this is the end. The message ends right here. Without him being here, it will never go on. Immediately, men started vying for positions.
He ordained me. He called my name on tape so many times. I was this, that, or the other. I drove up there to Jessamine. I was, Satan said, they'll kill themselves. She made it through the 60s. She made it through the 70s. Glory to God. No doubt a lot of these people that was in thought the 80s, they'll never see it. But they didn't know my name was on the book. They didn't know the rapture couldn't take place. My, we made it to the 80s. We made it to the 90s. Oh, we never thought 2000 would come. Now we passed it. And we're still running in flying colors. We made it to the here I stand. We made it through the believe the sign. We made it through all the rest of it. And the church is still standing. Satan has offered this administrative idea and this administrative idea, and the gates of hell have gathered over this message more than any message that's ever been on the earth. Glory to God. We have caused more conferences than any other message on the earth, because the person of the truth is back on the earth again. Hallelujah. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost in His bride. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our own lives, our own homes, our marriages, maybe our church. We've been through so much like our brothers around the world. Lord God, now it comes to my heart in Russia. Fathers, the government just intercepted some books. Started looking at them. Now, Lord, going to have a hearing just in a few days. The preliminary look at it is that this message must be banned from Russia. And if so, Lord, our brothers and sisters, their churches will be confiscated. The property will be taken, become property of the government. We pray for your mercy, O God. We pray for your mercy. You who could move on Nebuchadnezzar, may you move on the authorities there, Lord God, I pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, dear God, the gates of hell has determined time and time again to try to destroy, but it cannot, Lord. And then we know, Lord, if the hour has arrived that you would allow it to be so, then it means that the rapture is closer than what we thought. So your will be done, Father. Help us, I pray, Lord. Maybe right here tonight in our midst, Lord, and those that are streaming, an administrative power from the gates of hell has been sent to afflict the saint in their body. Lord, maybe in their home. Maybe a decision, Lord. Maybe it's a mother having to try to make a decision about her aged mother, whether she should try to put her in a home or not, or what she should do. And she's feeling pulled back and forth as far as what to do. Almighty God, may peace from the gates of Shalom enter into that mother's heart. Oh, hallowed, glory to God. Oh, blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah, Lord. I think of a couple of years ago when one of our sisters from over in England was facing such a dilemma. And you had me, Lord, to pray a similar prayer. It even confounded me why I even said it. But the sister was praying about what she should do. You spoke to the sister's heart through the prayer, Lord. Lord God, we still believe you're the King tonight. Brother Branham ain't here, Lord. There's no prophet here to be able to discern our thoughts, but the mighty God is here. Oh, Jesus, maybe Satan has come against a home. Lord God, a child, whatever it is. Oh, Lord Jesus, we call upon the conqueror of the gates. Hallelujah. May you send forth your administrative power to break the hold of the gates of hell. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For it will be in the face of the gates of hell that you testify of our tokens of our virginity. Glory to God, for in the very gates of hell, one morning you will change our bodies. Satan has accused us. He's pointed his finger at us and said we're not worthy. But it'll be right there in the gates, the very same place that Boaz bought Ruth. It'll be the very same place that the testimony will come back. It's proven she's innocent because she's gone in the rapture. She is no more because she had this testimony. She pleased God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You will throw it right back back in the face of the gates of hell. You will change our bodies.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, children, don't you just sense His presence? Whatever you need tonight, whatever's power has been released against you, your wife, your children, maybe your business, your home, your mind, whatever it is, may the Spirit of God bring an answer to you as it did to Daniel that day. It don't mean there won't be a conflict. It don't mean there won't be a war. Oh, my. But let God send whatever forces He needs to send to bring your answer. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, we worship You tonight, Adonai. Great, mighty God. We're glad we know who You are tonight, Father. We're not praying to a little boy who has to look over to his older father and ask him if it's okay if he answers this prayer. You are the Father. Philip, have I been so long time with You and You haven't known who I am? When You've seen Me, You've seen the Father. The prophet comes and captures that and says, when you see the Word manifested, you have seen the Father God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Then He comes in Shreveport and tells us the Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You tonight, Father. Oh, I know it may seem similar. The church calls the name of Jesus, and the church calls the name of Jesus. And people that don't know any different, they think, what's the difference? These people call the name of Jesus. They live this way, dress this way, do this, that, and the other. They drink and do whatever more. And yet these other people, they look different, they act different, they believe strange doctrines, and yet they call the name of Jesus as well. But we're calling the name from the manifestation of the interpretation of that name in our lives. We're not just repeating the name of Jesus as some magical cantation. This is not a magical ritual. It is He in us. Glory to God. It is Him in us believing His own word against all circumstances. Then the prophet said, we doubt our doubts. Glory to God. His faith in us. We do not doubt His word. We doubt our doubts. So if we're going to doubt tonight, God, we're going to doubt our doubts. We're going to doubt our fears. We're going to doubt our inferiorities. But we're going to believe Your word. That's what believers do. They believe. Praise be to God. Oh, bless Your holy name, Lord Jesus. You love Him tonight, saints. Oh, can we worship Him just a little before we go? Just a few minutes. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad you're a member of the church that Jesus built? Praise God. It's not a Baptist church. It's not a Methodist church. It's not Church of God. Please don't misunderstand me. We can call our church a message church. Well, if that's all we are, we're no more than a Baptist church. Many folks go to a message church. If we're not careful, that's going to become another denominational tag. Amen. We don't want to just be message people by name. We want this message living in us, manifesting itself every day out of our lives. That You are written epistles that people can see the signature of God in your life. Praise God. Don't you love Him with all your heart? Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Play something for us, Sam.
Lord, I believe. Break every chain. name of Jesus.
There is power.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sickness attacking your body is nothing but an invasion from the gates of hell. Satan attacking your home, nothing but an invasion from the gates of hell. Distress, oppression in your mind, nervousness, nothing but an invasion from the gates of hell. Oh, but I heard the gates of heaven open a while ago. Hallelujah. I heard the gates of heaven open a while ago. And I heard grace coming out the gates. I heard mercy coming out the gates. I heard forgiveness coming out the gates. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anybody want it here tonight? Oh, hallelujah. The King is here. He's come with healing in his wings. Lord God, we bless your name, Lord Jesus.
God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. Right now, in the good times and bad, you are on. You are God alone. You are God alone. Before time began, you are God alone. Oh, right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Oh, you are God.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my God. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now our sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Lord God,
what
we bless
a wonderful
your name.
Name it is.
We worship you tonight, Lord God. We praise
Jesus.
You, Lord. You're worthy, Lord Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the ghost of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name. Christ my King, what a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. My King, what a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is.
Glory to
the
God.
Name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name.
See you this weekend.
Father, we stand with such thanks, Lord. Lord God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for the truth. We're so grateful for the revelation you're giving us, for the way you come before us with such beauty and grace, Lord. Oh, Lord, we know there's terrible judgment ahead. But, Father, we find such comfort and such rest and such peace in the mercy you've shown us through revealing your word to us, Lord God, through letting your very life come in and live through us, for letting the very light of this gospel shine here, Lord, as we gather together in your presence. Lord, I ask you to bless your people. Those who walked away from this altar to not believe in, Lord, will be changed forever. That is a promise of your word. We stand together with them and agree in Jesus' name for all the needs that have been present here tonight, Lord God. We know that you are our King, and we love you, Lord. I ask you to keep us safe until we come together again in your name, Lord. Gather together, assembled, Lord, to love and worship you as your body. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.
Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons, his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers